The California summer vacation musketeers poured out of the trees, fully 200 strong. They wore Union blue with light blue infantry piping and wielded assorted muskets, including Maynard rifles, Brown Bess shotguns, and Sharps carbines. For a frozen moment, the unified Confederate Disunion Alliance stood rooted. The 6th Virginia Foot, Stonewall Detachment of the Virginia National Guard, and Colonel Dixie's Raiders alike. Down Crater Road, the Kentucky Bootless Bluegrass Band skidded to a calloused stop, hesitated, and then came pounding up.
Prepare for action, men!
Captain Royal Wooten Page, CSA, clambered atop a tank and, spearing his plumed bicorn hat on a cavalry saber, leaped fearlessly into the fray, waving it aloft for all to see.
Follow me!
He got about a dozen feet before the dashing figure of Colonel Dixie swept in, tripped him, and appropriated his saber.
For God and Dixie! Not necessarily in that order!
All along the Union line, officers followed suit, lifting their chapeaus high on their swords. Drawn inexorably by ancient enmities their ancestors had believed laid to rest in a courthouse surrender at Appomattox, two opposing waves of men surged toward one another, collided, and ran together like oil and water mixing. At first, the overwhelming Union numbers stood to take the day, but the Kentucky Bootless Bluegrass Band, recovering their muskets from the back seat of the car where they had been stashed, made a flanking maneuver and opened up with a withering, enfilading fire that cut many a man down. Unfortunately, due to the confused disposition of the opposing forces, they struck down nearly as many Confederate brethren as Union foes. History recorded it as a brilliant, if desperate, stroke. But of course, the unwritten truth was that it was an equal mix of panic and sheer idiocy. From other quarters, reinforcements put in their appearance. The 1st Massachusetts Interpretive Cavalry, which had been hiding in the easternmost reaches of Petersburg National Battlefield, came slipping up to see what all the commotion was about. When they grasped the enormity of what their startled eyes beheld, they picked up stones and sticks and waded in. The Louisiana Costume Zouaves also poured into Crater Field. They took one look and, after some hesitation, took the Union side of the engagement. Confusion ensued, became a close quarters tumult, and tumult gave way to a ferocious frenzy of clubbing and fisticuffs as the nearness of friend and foe alike precluded reloading of muzzle-loading rifles.
Behold, Remo, your long-lost roots.
Looks like a giant barroom brawl, little father.
Remo Williams and Chun stood on the high ground of Cemetery Ridge.
Once begun, the madness of war cannot be halted.
You saying there's nothing we can do?
The madness must be allowed to run its course.
I'm for stepping in and stepping on toes.
What will that accomplish?
You can fight or you can hop, but you can't hop and fight at the same time.
True, but an army possesses toes in multitude. You have only 2 feet to stamp with.
We can't let this go on all day.
They are doing no more killing. See? The vultures have realized this, and even now circle hungrily.
Remo looked up. TV news helicopters were beating near, camera lenses angling around like the electronic orbs of robotic voyeurs.
Vultures is right.
Remo picked up a rock and let it fly. The stone whizzed skyward and bounced off a plexiglass chopper cockpit. The cockpit spiderwebbed, turning white as snow. The pilot wrestled his ship to an open patch of turf. The other ships withdrew out of what they assumed to be the range of stray musket balls.
I can't just watch.
You can if you are on strike.
I'll strike in another way.
And I will help you, if only to hasten you along in your folly.